Tracy here. We had some technical difficulties at the end of the recording, and the last 5 minutes or so of the episode was not recorded. So at the end, when it cuts off, I will give a quick rundown of where it cut off at.
Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren. Today, we are doing a massive steaming helping of Oomph, a German band from Wolfsburg / Braunschweig. With me, not entirely as always, because usually we're a four-wheeled vehicle. There are three of us this evening. With me are Gabe Cooper in his dripping fonted murder basement. How are you, Gabe? Devil horns.
Mir geht's gut.
Danke. Super. Ausgezeichnet. And also with me from the depths of the tropical rainforests of Kentucky is Tracy Newport. How are you, sir?
He's muted.
He would be.
I'm doing pretty good. It's nice that it's finally getting a little cool around here. So it's not 90% humidity with 90 degree weather. It's 80. 50s. I mean, it's gotten it's chilly, but it's nice.
I'll take it. Yeah, we're talking about Oomph because I'm an asshole. Why is this happening? Halloween. That's why this is happening. Like, why did this even occur? Because Oomph is spooky, scary.
Oft threatened.
Now finally deployed. And, you know, this is a band that really, I don't think made a lot of headway in the U.S. almost ever. I'm not even sure Algenauf really made much of a dent in the U.S. As we've talked about in other episodes, the U.S. market is extremely difficult to break into, particularly for a band that used to be about maybe one-third English, two-thirds German, and then at a certain point, they just give up and say, fuck it, and it's pretty much German only. Like, by the time of Ritual, they don't really record English songs anymore, but for a while they did, so I still think maybe we should play, we don't have to do it for every song, but a little bit of, what does this mean, Tracy? I'm sure Tracy has a pretty good idea from the English songs, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm maybe theme from the English songs, maybe, but some of them I feel like they're a little less hidden than they were with Rammstein, I will say. I think
there's a lot less like subtle wordplay here. Like it's not yes. Like I think Rammstein is like, I don't know, they're a little bit more literary and B, they're just like more subtle in like, their
Rammstein would have like a song track called Motorboat, and then it would just be random about some sea captain just getting killed. And then you'd be like, I don't know how you get that from the song title, but okay, I'm like, I can see, but there's without knowing the language, there's steps involved getting there.
I agree. You know, they like wordplay and double entendres and all that. And Oomph, I think Oomph is literary in a different way. It's sort of like if the Bible were choking you to death, but it's not that kind of thing.
They like starting each line with the same word. That's what they like to do. And they do it over and over and over again.
I mean, it's nice.
It's like a hymn, man.
I didn't know. I didn't pick up on any of that. So it's
I nice guess I should have gone to church.
You should have, Gabe.
Indeed. And we're going to talk a little bit about the spiritual journey, because this band used to be, well, I guess still is. I mean, ultimately, Darrow left. It's a three-piece and has been since its foundation. And it was, I mean, clearly, I don't know, I guess they've always been on a spiritual journey. They definitely were culturally Catholic from the very beginning, but usually in a fairly negative way. I mean, a lot of these songs were, on the ones we're listening to here, as late as Ritual, are certainly not praising the church or what it is, but Dejo had a series of shitty life experiences, including a child with cancer that apparently in 2021 turned him Christian. And that happens. I mean, Korn and Dave Mustaine, isn't that also the
Dave Mustaine? That's why he'll never redo, like, he'll never play Five Magics live.
That stuff, yeah.
The bass, the guitarist from Korn, not the bassist, guitarist from Korn. Like, there's even a video of him jamming with Mike Huckabee.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, well, we haven't gone that far yet. So this is another one of those, unfortunately, though it happened quite recently after this last album. So I picked, what did I pick?
Unrein.
Unrein, which I'm not Plastique. Sad about, but I think it's their masterpiece. Yeah, so that's 98. Plastique from 99. Wahrheit oder Pflicht from 2004, which was kind of their breakout album a little bit, at least in terms of the German market. And then I jumped way ahead just to show you all where they are now to Ritual from 2019. There are many, many other albums, obviously, it's going back all the way to 1992. At some point, I'll probably do a blast. You're welcome. That does like some of that earlier, heavier stuff. So Gabe hates me less. So we'll back it up a little bit.
Ben thought he escaped the oomph apocalypse.
Uh-oh.
And he's got another round coming for him.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, I do want to point out this band, you know, people talk about particularly Sperm or whatever as one of the foundational albums to Neue Deutsche Härte, to, you know, the genre that bands like Hallenstein and Megahertz are in. And I would agree with that. It's pretty damn heavy. Indeed, it's probably heavier. And Defect, even more. Defect is probably the heaviest album, period. So I'll make sure we hit those next time. But so this band was really important in terms of a genre that at least I, and I think Gabe also like. So it's a bit of a catch-all. It's like heavy things. With some keyboards, I guess. I don't know how you would.
it's interesting. I mean, my only real point of access is Rammstein to this stuff. Like, I'm not nearly as well versed in it, which is why, like, I think it, like, listening to this band for me is different, because I came into it basically expecting a Rammstein clone, and it's really not that. And as you were saying, it's also a generational thing. Like, this band is a little bit older than Rammstein is, maybe.
Yeah.
So
Rammstein credits Sperm and Defect as being like a part of their musical education.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, well, you can look at Rammstein's discography and say, okay, they kind of have like flirted with pop like now and again. It's much more obvious in the four discs, sure. Just the four albums of this band that I've heard. It's like the flirtation is much more serious.
I think that's true. And I know I'm more into pop than the rest of you all. And, you know, the as you say, the genres, you know, between Die Krups is in the mix there and Megahertz, they're sort of all over the place. And nearly all of them, even Rammstein, occasionally, there's sort of these more sort of rock elements that I guess we'll see how that went over with you all. But yeah, if Rammstein is your only point of access, I could see how this would be somewhat jarring. But I think Rammstein is probably the heaviest of all of them.
Yeah.
This is, I'm trying to find these guys. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the name, but hearing this album and hearing what I've heard from Oomph has made their sound much more noticeable. Like, it makes a lot more sense of why they sound the way they do. It's going to kill me.
It's another German band.
Yeah, it's another German band there.
Eisbrecher?
I'd be surprised if you like them.
That's fair. I mean, there's a lot of these things.
Yeah, but like, it just like hearing them and then hearing it.
But one of the things that, you know, again, they cite their own influences, and you can see this with Ministry as well, was the growth out of like New Wave, right? Yeah. Like that, a lot of its roots are precisely in kind of synth pop a little bit, which I think lived on long, like so many things, lived on longer in Germany than maybe in the United States. So. And I, you know, I appreciate them for that sort of back and forth, because, as you know, really the two genres I listen to probably the most are, you know, metal and then pop. So for me, this is sort of checking multiple boxes, maybe not as much for you all. But to be fair to them, of course, though, I feel like when they get heavy and scary, they're heavy and scary as fuck, which doesn't always happen. But
and the band is Crematory.
Crematory, yeah, I don't know them.
Like, they've got a very, when you hear, like, hearing the album, at least I heard from them from 2018, it reminded me a lot of like coming back and hearing and listening to what they do it and Oomph and these albums. I'm like, okay, this makes a lot of sense of why they sound this way now, especially if they're kind of, I don't want to say coming on the coattails, but they're definitely working the same ground.
I mean, you know, a scene is a scene, in the same way that thrash was the face that launched 1,000 ships. You know, a lot of stuff sort of got into this zone here. They like bleeps and bloops, maybe a bit more than Gabe. We'll see. Some bleeping, there's some blooping.
Yeah, there's like, you know, a definite, you can tell that they were into electronic music first.
Totally.
Not necessarily in it for the heavy, but you can hear that in some of Rammstein, just because they, you know, they do the four on the floor like constantly.
Totally.
But it's not inherently a bad thing. It's just kind of a different, gives them a different flavor.
It does. And I think they're a little less repetitive than Rammstein. And I say that loving Rammstein, but for better or for worse.
I think they give them a run for their money, but we can get into that later.
I guess we can. Yeah. I guess it depends on the album, but I feel like there's a few more styles. Well, no, I guess Rammstein does some weird shit too. Who knows? These are albums. They're certified albums. That's all I'm arguing.
All of them.
All of them are albums. Sorry, Tracy.
And also, I was just going to say, like, it's I was expecting almost more of a Rammstein clone, and which there are songs I'm like, okay, I can see Rammstein performing this song, but outside of that, I don't really see the very much as much Rammstein togetherness. That makes sense. Like, I could definitely see how they probably ran it somewhere in circles or maybe even did tours together, but like, they're nowhere near. There's more degrees of separation between them and Rammstein than there is, say, Metallica and Megadeth.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think thematically, I think I shared with you all that picture showing Germany and Christianity, how the Eastern part is a black hole in terms of giving a shit about Christian themes or messages or whatever, whether positive or negative. So their headspace, they're in very different headspaces, I think, thematically, which has to do with, you know, Rammstein is very much an East German band, or, well, you know, former DDR. So any other preliminary thoughts? I mean, I could ramble about this a little bit.
There's fewer boob jokes here.
There are fewer boob. Yeah. There is not the whimsy quite.
There's not a lot of whimsy. There's not a lot of, like, I mean, Rammstein, I think, is okay with making fun of themselves and what they're doing. Whereas I think that by and large, a lot of this kind of takes itself very seriously. And it is totally a choice. And it's totally, you know, there's different reasons why one can be better than the other.
One of them, I would say, is a little different, and we didn't listen to it. And I don't think it's streamable, but Des Wahnsinns Fette Beute, that one is a bit more tongue-in-cheek. But the rest of these, I agree, are serious as, serious as cancer, I guess pun intended. But yes, quite serious. So my access point to this band. So when I was traveling, when I was here the first time in 1996-7, I heard Wunschkind, which that album is devastating and quite heavy. It's about child abuse. That album I heard in Copenhagen, of all places. I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But I didn't have much money then, so I didn't actually buy it at the time, though it did make somewhat of an impression on me. When I came back in 98 for that summer, Unrein had just come out and I got it. And that's when I got hooked. That was the album that really was my sort of stepping on point, which I guess that's a while ago. What was that, 24 years ago? And that summer already, I worked backward. I got Wunschkind, I got Defex, and I think I also got Sperm. I got sort of went back that far. And then I was back again in the summer of 99, and that's when Plastique had come out. So I don't know if that makes me an early adopter. I mean, that's only about 6 years into their album release history. So I've been listening to this band for a very long time. It was important in terms of my... I learned a lot of German words from these songs.
I would say for an American, it makes you an early adopter.
Yeah.
Because I doubt they were easily accessible stateside prior.
They weren't. I remember ordering a couple of these from Amazon DE and having them shipped over to the US to be able to listen to them. Like, that was, you know, in the year before Bear Share had really taken off, before Metallica had fucked it up, or with Napster.
Yeah. I am a late adopter. This is my first go around with them on anything other than what I might have got from you through osmosis anytime we've been in a car together for extended period of time.
You're welcome. So, you know, this was, for me, I did not need to do a lot of prep work. So, of course, being who I am, I listened to all of these, I don't know, two or three times just to say that I did. It had been a while. Some of them I listen to on rotation even now. Some of us will talk about a little bit less, especially if I had a place. Like, some of my favorite songs, period, are on that album. But there is some filler on there. I'm like, what is this? Like, I sort of had forgotten about that. I guess I used to skip. But anyway, we'll get to that. That happens.
So, we ready to move on to albums?
I'd say yes. Unless Gabe wants to give a monologue about cultural Christianity and the damage it does.
I'll stay away for that because it's not my it's not my place.
Not your jam. Not your confiture.
So. Not my circus. Not my monkeys.
Yeah, exactly. Nicht meine Affen. So yeah, let's get into Unrein. Okay. Did you look up the stuff?
Or I've got the pull it details up, Tracy? And stuff pulled up.
All right, hit us.
If you want to say their names though, because I mean the lineup.
Gerne. Das kann ich natürlich.
I can pronounce crap. All right.
Yeah, I say crap and Robert Flux are pretty. Yeah, so it's all of these albums. It's a very steady lineup. Are crap. Thomas Dübner on lead guitar, keyboards, backing vocals. Robert Flux, who's René Bachmann on rhythm guitar, samples, bass, backing vocals, and then Dejo Goy, who's really Stefan Musia, I guess, on lead vocals, studio drums, programming, and live percussion, and then You can hit us with the rest, Tracy. So that's who they are.
And that lineup doesn't change for the entirety of the four albums we're talking about tonight.
Does not.
Their career until, as David said, about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the first movie, or the first one, not movie, the first album that that David picked for us. And it's their fifth studio album, Unrein.
Yeah, Unrein. Genau.
It was released on February 27th, 1998. It has a runtime, 69 minutes and 54 seconds. It was released on the label Virgin, and the producers are Oomph.
Indeed. And I think the version that I had in 1980 did not have This Time or Monolith. It ended with Mind of Wunden. I assume you listened to the one that had 16 tracks.
I listened, because I looked it up. I listened to Mind of Wunden. I stopped at that one. Quit. Their original release.
Yeah, that's the other two songs are okay, but yeah, in my mind it was jarring. I was like, wait, why is there a song after Mind of Wunden? That song is clearly the last song. I know this album was not a Ben approved length. It's worse with those two tracks. It's 1 hour and 19 minutes. So sorry, Ben, wherever you are.
But yeah, I mean, first introduction to them. This is so much more industrial than I was expecting, in a sense. Like, I was expecting kind of more coming into, you know, Rammstein. Mm-hmm. And more in the heavy metal aspect of it. But then it's like, and here's Ministry. And just like, we're doing that then instead. Like, it's this, especially Unrein. And I think one of the later ones reminds me a lot, almost even to the degree of Faith No More. And like terms like styles and sounds. That
I can see that.
With. Yeah. And I was like, this runs because like he does a lot with his vocal patterns throughout these album songs. And I'm doing all kind of little things here and there. And it's pretty neat how it's done, but you can definitely tell they're early on and like their production values of this one, because this one's still kind of rough around the edges.
It is. The fact, I mean, you know how I feel about both Ministry and Faith No More. I'm like, okay, yeah, that does make sense in terms of why I like this album. A lot of people consider this, and I don't know much how many other reviews you read or rankings or anything, sort of their dark opus, and I agree with that. I think this one, as you'll see when I do grades, which I'm sure are going to be way too high, but anyway, this one I think is, this one's still my favorite. It's just so fucking evil and dark and twisted, and again, it was when I got on the ride. So
if you can't fanboy when it's in front of you, why fanboy at all?
Yeah, indeed. And without Ben here, our grades, we'll see what happens. Ben just dials in, gives it 4 Fs, and then hangs out.
F. Holster rides in town. So I think that these songs are very, very long. And I think that one of the reasons for that is precisely they're coming from electronic music, and they're also like going for that same kind of epic feeling that you might get from like a long, like a club edit of like some song. It definitely goes for scary and epic, but I don't know if it makes it to both of those all of the time. And here, like, what also really struck me is that the riffs can be really cool, but they get repeated to death. And that's unfortunate for me. I didn't hear so much industrial in here as I did more specifically Rammstein and like some dark wave like type beats like on top of it, which I guess might be redundant because Rammstein does have some of that maybe juice in it. But that's where I sort of heard it going. I did think, though, that this had some satisfyingly dark moments. I think maybe my problem is that, like, they're really heavily depending on, like, keyboards and synthesizers to make their interesting sounds. And some of those sounds are, like, way too intense. Like, they just need to, like, less is more sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, don't, sure. Like, you know, you don't spam the keyboards. Like, you're going to get, like, a really great... If it's one of the only sounds you have, you're going to get a really huge sound. Like, you don't need to, like... spam it, but maybe that's just me.
I'm definitely the one of the three of us that likes keyboards the most, I think. I admit that their sound could be baroque rather than like it can be perhaps overly florid, and yeah, they lean on keyboards quite heavily, which to me is not a minus, but yeah, certainly it's, as we've talked about, like so many bands, is not Slayer.
I mean, keyboards don't bother me, but there are moments that I'm like, that's maybe a little too much. I don't really know if it bothered me here, because I think it was kind of expected here in my mind. And, you know, Gabe was talking about dark wave, and I don't really have the knowledge of dark wave to separate it from other genres that everybody's closer to, in a sense. So that's probably where I'm probably getting some, like, the industrial sounds there. But it does remind me of, or what I correlate to industrial, and even some of, like, the early Fear Factory stuff, even in that. Mm-hmm. It's just like the sound, like that's where my mind goes hearing this album. And like, I think it's missing the polish at the later albums and a lot of the genres we've spoken about have mm-hmm. that I think kind of makes it kind of like pop and crisp. Like this is much more murkier.
I appreciate that in some ways though, because I think, and I like pop and I don't mind when they veer into that territory, but sometimes it's almost a little too glossy, I think, by the time of Wahrheit oder Pflicht. And the other albums are rougher than this, those earlier ones. Again, I'm going to try out some of those, I think, particularly Defekt and Wunschkind gave might like a little more. Yeah, this is definitely a bit unpolished, but I find that okay. I mean, it's like going down into a crypt and getting killed with, if not a hammer, maybe beaten to death with a keytar. A keytar and a crucifix.
The band heard you talking shit and just decided to catch you. Get you on stage.
Darrow unconverts to Christianity just to kill me and then goes back. So that, what do you think of the intro? I mean, we don't have to go track by track, but I think it's creepy as shit and cool, but maybe it's already too much. That thing about Original Sin, that opener.
Meh.
I want to say it was great. Also, I wouldn't understand it, what he was saying anyway. So, I mean,
fair enough.
That doesn't help it.
As the only one here that was raised Catholic, I think part of it to me, it immediately hits that space of, I don't know, it's just there's a lot of layers to this. But so that was, moment one, this album.
They immediately got some brownie points for you because they came out with the right cross on Catholicism. Right? Yes.
Yeah, but a cross that hates you. I mean that's the thing.
Right cross. Oh, red,
yeah, totally. It's not laudatory at all. That's what's so interesting is you hear this, and then I read about his recent conversion. I'm like, huh. I mean, it makes sense, though, again. I guess it wraps around. It's a bit like the horseshoe theory of politics. So, yeah. Any other general thoughts about this album?
Nothing.
Bleeps and bloops. There's some riffs. And I agree. Some of those riffs do get a bit repetitive in that they sort of use them, as you say, Gabe, almost more like dark wave or club music a tiny bit rather than.
Yeah. And the other thing that's weird, too, is that I think the speed is a little bit strange. Like they slow it mm-hmm. down really randomly and it doesn't speed up right away. And I think they're going for drama, but there are other ways to do that. But they don't have, like I said, they don't have like all that many elements going on. So it's hard to build that drama in other ways, I think, other than, you know, dynamics, like getting loud, getting soft. That too is like a little bit weird for me, because if you have that, you know, four on the floor, if you have like something like this club thing, you really want it to keep up. Like you want it to keep going because you're like, you know, I don't know, you're dancing to it or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, I'm usually team. Could this be faster? And I don't know what I would think about this band if I heard it now. I don't know. I was just maybe so impressionable back in 1998. This kind of, you know, blew my mind.
Well, I think this fits in the close enough to where it's not just like pure thrash, where you're like, I need that.
Sure.
And you need that fix. So they're dealing with other things that where speed is not the main course of the meal.
For sure.
But interestingly, like, you know, dance music or club music, like if it's not fast enough, people don't realize that it's dance music. So may be a totally different function, or it may be a totally different context for hearing it, but it still kind of matters.
Or big enough bass.
Yeah. Where's the bass drop?
All your bass are belong to us.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do want to say, I think their English songs don't hold up as well as their German songs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that too.
I think that's true. Yeah, I was not actually that sad when they abandoned it. Because after Wahrheit oder Pflicht, they're like, never mind. So I think that's fair. It's missing a little bit of the creepiness of Deutsch. How Deutsch can
also, I don't appreciate their Denglish.
Yeah, no, occasionally it's the English
of the Bronx. Mein Leben intern.
You know, intern. That's supposed to be a real keeping. Anyway, yes.
Real gekeeped.
Rehab's real gekeeped. Yeah, no, occasionally. Yeah, I ultimately was okay when they were like, never mind on English. But it's hard. You know, they were trying to, I think, quite consciously break into not the U.S. market per se, but any country that isn't Germany or Austria or, you know, half of Switzerland. So German in the EU is a language that receives a mixed hearing for a variety of historical reasons. That's what I'm going to say.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Fehlers and gemacht worden. Their mistakes were made. Yeah. They tried. Anyway, should we talk about Lieder? Should we talk about songs?
We can. And before Gabe, you want to go first? You want me to?
I can go. So I really liked Unsere Rettung. I think that it is spooky, scary, and I got a lot of skin vibes there. And what else did I like? I liked Gekreuzigt. I think the lyrics are very strange, but the sound is good. I also liked Anniversary, which for me signals a real tone shift in the album. Like, it sounds like 80s hard rock plus like synths on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of that song Unbelievable by AMF.
Totally.
It's like the same song.
100%. Oh my God. It totally is. That's amazing.
But I can dig it. I just thought it was cool because it like, yeah, changes how the album actually feels. Bastard is okay. I just think the tempo is wrong. Like, it just really slows down too much and then it really speeds up just randomly.
just to fuck with you.
And I also liked Mind of Wunden. I think it's creepy, even if it is too long.
Like you, I think Unsere Rettung is pretty good. I like Unsere Rettung and Die Maske. I think the introduction, Mutter Schoss.
Gross. Yeah. Mother's Womb.
It's just not, no. I could care less about that track. I'm like, Gekreuzigt.
Gekreuzigt, yeah. Crucified.
And Bastard.
You like the same ones that I did.
I know. I actually, a lot of my favorite ones are the ones you picked as well. Uh-huh. So in that respect, I think we're aligning.
So I want to say this, because, you know, we just did a Spooktober, in a sense, for the movie podcast I'm doing. And so we watched horror movies, and kind of like watching some of these older horror movies that I haven't seen before, have been years since I've seen them, and kind of mm-hmm. seeing, like, that made me appreciate kind of like Unsere Rettung a little bit more than previously. Like, kind of like, okay, I can see where this fits, like, thematically.
Indeed. No, I think the reference to Scanned is appropriate because they've clearly heard this band. You know, I like pretty much all of these. That's not going to surprise you. I think even the interludes or whatever, the instrumentals are okay. They're a little long, I admit that. So I'm going to, I don't have alcohol because it's, you know, 4 in the fucking morning. But
put some Baileys in your coffee.
Is that supposed to be an excuse?
Yeah, exactly. Not with that attitude. Anyway.
Put some Baileys in your cup, David.
I am going to go get more coffee in a second. But anyway, I mean, in terms of my favorites, it's a lot of the same ones. Unsere Rettung, I really like a lot. Gekreuzigt, I fucking love that song. Unrein, I think, is... Well, I'll Never Be Clean Again, Unrein, I like a lot. Anniversary is a lot like some of the stuff on the previous albums, actually. So again, I'm hopeful that, you know, that goes pretty well when we listen to those. Who knows? It'll be months, I'm sure. And I fucking love Mind of Wunden. That song is so fucking creepy. That lead out. And it really should be the lead out. I'm not sure at this time in Monolith add much. Those were tacked on, I don't know, by the record company later. But ultimately, like, I tend to listen to these things on playlists, so it was kind of cool to sort of just listen to the whole thing. Because that's how I, you know, I'm so old that, you know, I just would put this on my Discman and just like let it rip. So it was kind of cool to replicate that experience, because I tend to have these on, you know, fairly huge playlists that are jumping all over the place. But yeah, this one is definitely of the four, and just period, in terms of their whole discography, this one's still my favorite. I think it's the creepiest, spookiest, scariest. And a little, as you say, Tracy, rough around the edges, which I appreciate compared to some of the almost excessive polish on some of the later stuff. And yeah. I just want to, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah.
And I actually really like Deco's vocals. You know, he does a bunch of different stuff here that he really does remind me of Mike Patton. I think he gets even better. I think there was clearly some vocal training between Plastique and Ego, which we didn't listen to. So for the genre, I think he's quite good. Or at least capable. You may not agree with his stylistic choices, but he's certainly a better singer than I am.
Definitely a better singer than I am.
No, yeah. All right. So I think that's that. Can you, gentlemen, give me one moment? I need more go juice. I need.
Well, you're going to get your go juice. I'll go ahead and do the lead in for the next album.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Okay. We are doing Plastique. It was released on October 11th, 1999. It was released on Virgin, same label as the previous one, Virgin Record Labels. It is a runtime of 52 minutes and 33 seconds. I don't see a producer, so it's probably them. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't produce it themselves.
Did you mention the guest artist?
It's not showing here.
Nina Hagen did guest vocals on Fieber.
Who's Nina Hagen?
Well, she is a pretty famous artist in German-speaking countries.
So you and David are familiar with her, and I am not.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Just wanted to get that stat in there.
I think David really went and got some Baileys for this morning.
I feel called out, so I was like, shit. So yeah, no, this is Kelbeggan, Ireland's oldest.
Yeah, life. That's good stuff.
It's too early, David. Don't worry about it. We're just messing with you.
No, you can't. You drop the gauntlet. I'm not putting a lot in here. We're just gonna pretend we're at the Christmas market. All right. So a little early for me, but thanks, Ireland.
I mean, what you got planned for the day anyways?
Oh, we're meeting someone for lunch. I gotta, you know, work on a syllabus.
Relaxing day at the home for the most part.
Exactly. It's Samstag.
You're just fitting in with the crew at home.
Oh, that's a strong drink. Anyway. Sticks were made.
Glad you could join us, David. But yeah, Plastique.
Yeah,
well, why did you choose this one now?
Because it's awesome. This was the first one that, like, I knew was coming out, anticipated, and ordered. You know, I was very into this band, 1999, and I listened to the shit out of this album my first year in grad school, like a million times. So I feel like stylistically, it probably is the one that has the most in common with Undyne. I feel like they overlap pretty considerably.
Yeah. I mean, stylistically, I see a lot in, like, very similar styles in here, but I think they took their production game up a couple of few notches because this sounds much crisper and clearer.
Which I think it's the first one on a label. I think this is the on a large label.
It's on
label.
Virgin as well. Virgin, yeah. They were on Virgin in the previous album as well.
Got it. Well, but I think they had no budget. Virgin didn't get, you're right, but I think Virgin only threw some money at them for this one, and I think it shows.
Oh, and this one they actually got money for?
You know, I'm not bringing out a lot of money, but more money than they had on Undyne. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because they released that Undyne in February, I believe it was.
Yeah,
February. And this one came out just 18 months later.
Yeah, they put out albums, especially back then. They were not quite Kiss speeds, but, you know, Iron Maiden. So, yeah, I just dig this album a lot. And again, maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's because I like Bleeps and Bloops. Maybe it's because I like, you know, You're Unbelievable. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you said that this album and Undyne have a lot in common. I find that this album, while they've gotten the song length under control, they've totally lost the Härte from the Neue Deutsche Härte. They've lost that plot completely. Like, there's no heaviness on this really compared to that. And it's really full-on pop, like the song structures too, and they're still hyping those keyboards like there's no tomorrow. They're just like jumping on the keyboards, especially the string pads. They're all over the string pads. One weird thing that I also heard on this record is German that sounds like English. Like, they sing German words with English language sounds, like do instead of do. You know, like it's
they're a German learner. Game. They're just learning German.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like they replace themselves with like German learners.
It's just singing it for them. Just
man,
the Tracy enunciation version.
You know,
I think this might be if
you got credit for this album, Tracy, I'd have less of a problem with it. But because they didn't give you any credit, I have to assume that they're just singing really strangely.
I mean, what kind of credit does an 11-year-old get in the writing world when it comes to music writing?
I think it may be slightly the equivalent of something that also bothers me less than it bothers you all, odorous, randomly British accent. So, you know, it happens. And yes, I know it's very keyboard heavy. It's much more a pop structured album. So yeah, it definitely was a shift from Undyne, but I dug it. I don't know. Maybe I was just a sucker. But part of me at the time appreciated a little bit that it was slightly less random. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, like, this one doesn't remind me like of pop. This one, if I was going to say, give a close counterpoint in American that I don't think Gabe is overly familiar with, is he may be because he's in Cleveland currently, is Mushroom Head, like their 20 and 22 and 13 albums. Like, this album reminds me a lot of those two albums and just how they have a much more heavy industrial, like they don't have a lot of guitar in the mix, but they've got much more keyboard and bass guitar and synth and their mix and songwriting than they do traditional metal bands. Gabe got this angry look on his face whenever I brought up Mushroom
Head. It's just that I don't know them. But it may very well be that there's some parallels there. For me, this just sounds like pop, really, which is not bad in itself. Of course not.
I wish pop was this heavy, but I know what you're saying. Yes, compared to it's not some of the stuff we listened to last week.
The cleanness, and I think the like it's not super super heavy, and I think the keypads are really also what does it for me.
I think what's happening is Gabe has spent so much time in the cavern that anything outside the cavern is pop.
No, look, man, I listen to other stuff. I do.
This, I think, crosses the threshold. It's too heavy for pop in my head. Like, this is a bit heavier than poppy is. And, like, I feel like poppy, you may be pushing it, trying to get on, like, a what I associate with pop in the sense of, like, top 40, Casey Kasem. And that is where my mind goes when pop is talked about, as opposed to maybe you do get some of the darker stuff with poppy in there, maybe Skinned if you kind of want to really go. But, I mean, that's where my mind goes with it.
I thought you were talking about Poppy, the performer. I'm like, what? Where are we? It took me a second. You with the adjective.
That was also a pop record.
Also a pop record. So,
which had heavy bits on it. There's no denying that. There's some heavy bits on this. It's not that there aren't any. I'll correct myself there.
It's all relative. No, I get it. Be frustrational.
There's much more clean singing, and he does a nice job.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think he ups his game even more on Ego. I think one of the biggest jumps in terms of vocal stylings is between this one and the next one, which we didn't listen to. I like that album too. I think the English songs are a little more successful on here, in my opinion, than on the previous one. But aren't going to last a whole lot longer. I mean, they're going to abandon that before, I think, a couple albums after this is the end of English.
I think this...
Know what? Say it, Tracy.
I had nowhere really to go with it, so...
False start.
Yeah. I do think the polish helps their songs out some, but it does, like you guys were talking about, it does feel less early industrial Fear Factory vibes that I was getting on the previous one.
Though I love the sound they achieve. I mean, these riffs, I guess, inherently aren't that heavy, but the, you know, it's a, in terms of the pyramid of sound with bass at the bottom, they've got a pretty full, awesome sound that I definitely appreciate. Especially in headphones, but
yeah, and I think they focus on melody, and I think that's like a real contrast for me. Also from Unrein, it's like you don't necessarily feel like they're focusing on that melody to get that to the front, and they get Nina Hagen on the case. I mean, come on,
they do. Like,
I mean, you want to talk about a singer? She's a really great singer.
Indeed,
versatile.
I appreciate that track. And they do a few more of those kind of duets later, so that just sort of started that. I think this is the first one, and there's more of them on later albums. Yep.
Is that how you say it? Fiber? Fever?
Fibo?
Fiba? It feels like...
Fever.
I'm not necessarily a big fan of that track. Like, I don't know.
It just I'm not kinda... either, but I think that she does okay on it. No, his voice is terrible. But
it's just like...
on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not up to the challenge yet. I think that's that kind of singing he pulls off, I think, from Ego forward, but he isn't quite there here. I agree with that. Mein Brenner de Liebe is another sort of song that's like that's a bit like this that I think is much better, but we didn't listen to it. So anyway, he gets there, but yeah, she blows him out of the water. I mean, it's not even close, you know. So it sounds like we're talking about songs already. It seems like a natural transition.
I can go first,
Tracy. Yeah, yeah, please.
I think it starts off really great with Das Weiße Licht and Kennst du mich? And Scorn kind of looks meh is okay, but after that, Goldenness Hus, and I think that's all I pulled off here. I think the rest of it kind of falls off. I don't like the closing track, My Own Private Prison. I'm not a fan of that track.
Be that way.
It sounds Manson-y. Like, I forgot who we were talking about, what specific instance we're talking about him, but it sounds very Marilyn Manson-ish.
I think so. And at the time, I liked Manson a lot, but yep.
I liked some of the same tracks as Tracy did. I liked, I think Das Weiße Licht is a really interesting opener and very melodic in a way that the last record that we listened to was not. I also thought that Nothing Is Real was kind of cool because, like, hey, there's guitars there, and I like most of everything about that track except for the keypads. And Goldenes Herz, I also liked. There is something like operatic too about a lot of these tracks, and it's not just like the vibrato clean singing. It's like, you know, there's more like I don't know, depth of emotion or like melody or like something that it's like, I don't know, it's more drama somehow.
I would describe it the exact same way, sort of Wagnerian and like opera. I like a lot of the songs you all like. I think the first half of the album's a little stronger than the second half. I love Das Weiße Licht as an opener. I think it's quite effective. That whole run through Nothing Is Real is quite good. I really love Golden Is Here. That's a bit of a faster, heavier track. I mean, I pretty much like this whole album. This one, as you'll see in my rankings, apologies in advance, is probably my second favorite after One Line. It's good shit, in my opinion.
Indeed. And I guess that brings us to their next album that we picked, or that Dave picked for us. And it is Wahrheit oder Pflicht. It is their eighth studio album, released on February 8th, 2004. It is on BMG Imports, same lineup as previously.
This was the breakout for them here, at least. Algenauf got like regular radio airplay, which was weird. You know, I'd been listening to this band for like 6 years at this point, and suddenly this shit was on the radio. Because again, I was here. This was the tail end of that 3-year stretch that I was in Germany when I met Gabe, actually. So I was here when this album came out and very pumped. And I know people at home like listened to Algenauf in like German class or whatever back in the States.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was for them and for as heavy as they are, you know, because there's not a whole lot more metal on the radio in Germany than at home, except for maybe Scorpions. But anyway, it was, this was sort of the breakout for them.
Gotcha. Like that, I'll get off especially kind of remind me a bit of like when we did the AC/DC blast earlier this year, kind of like the vibes that they kind of like pulled to kind of get that, at least that song working, and kind of like what they went for in that remind me a lot of like that early AC/DC sound.
Interesting. I can see why this is. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, it's probably also just like the special vocals and they're like counting down and stuff, and kind of like, it's a very, I don't say formulaic, but it's a very kind of, it's a not very complex of a song. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no. I was just going to say, I can see why this is their breakthrough album. I think they get the formula down and the heaviness comes back. The songs are still, they're still of an appropriate length. They have some, they have retained some of that pop aesthetic, but it's usually not super annoying. And I just really had a good time, you know, listening to this. Even if I didn't like all of the tracks, I thought it was a good time. There's also, what do you call it? It seems a little bit less serious and operatic than Plastic. And there's some fun stuff, like, you know, the last record, like Plastic and also Unrein, there's just some lyrical moments that I just can't go along with. It's just a little bit too strange and weird and kind of in your face. But there's some fun stuff here, I think. They start to have a little bit more fun.
I agree with that. And you see that more. I think the albums after this sound a lot like this. This sort of becomes, I think, from 04 up until 19, is sort of, they kind of hit that formula. This is the last one with any English on it. This is it. Like after this, they're like, never mind.
And that's for every album, not just the ones we've done, right?
Just period. There's no more English at all on the Glaube, Liebe, Tod or any of the albums after this. That one's 2006. So this was the end of English for them.
I wonder if it was the success of Auf Augen Auf. And then, like, we don't need English to actually gain ground. So why even do it?
I think that was part of it. I think they probably, you know, got in a time machine and heard Gabe complain about their English and decided out of shame they should not use it anymore.
I don't think that their English is bad. I just don't think their English language songs work nearly as well.
I think that's true. They quit.
I also, not to go backwards in time, but nothing can surpass the murderous. Like, what the
nothing
fuck
can surpass the murderous. I love that song.
Der fuck. That's all I have to say.
Was der fuck indeed. It's a bit abgefuckt. I will concede that, but
just slightly. I was also going to say, like, the English language songs work the least here. I think it's not. I just totally wanted to skip them when they came up.
I did. That's what I was saying to you when we started, because, you know, I listened to all these albums and I listened to some of my favorite songs, period, are on this album. But a couple of the songs, I was like, what is this? Like, I think I just kind of skipped them. You know, I was still listening to this on a Discman, but I think by this point, maybe I'd gone MP3. But yeah, no, I admit that there's a couple kind of the songs on here, English songs are here. I'm not going to go as far as to say throwaway, but they're not nearly as good.
Yeah. And then, like, I think part of it is they don't have that, I guess you would say, kind of like basic almost silly quality of them that Rammstein's English songs did, at least. So you're right, like laughing as you hear him sing it, or him speak it, however you want to say he does those songs. But yeah, I think the English songs here, well, there's one I liked on here, English wise, but for the most part, I agree with you guys that I was kind of like, I don't, this feels a little bit of a letdown.
They're better at English than Rammstein is, but I guess you say Rammstein takes it to that silly place. So you hate me. You hate or, me to say.
Let me see you strip. And just that's where my mind goes when I think of Rammstein.
Well, English. Yeah. The other thing is like they employ English very consciously. Like it's like, hey, we're about to throw like foreign words into our music. Like it's like really like that's what I think that's what they are aiming for when they use English. Like it, you pay attention to it because it sounds unnatural. Like, you know, I'm thinking about like, you know, we're all living in America. America is wunderbar. Like, obviously, like they didn't need to write that song in, you know, partly in English, but they did. Because they're making a certain kind of statement. Whereas like, if you write a song in English, it's very much a pop endeavor. Like if you're just like, sure. Okay, we're trying to get people to listen to us who don't speak our native language. I don't think that's what Rammstein is necessarily trying to do most of the time.
Yeah. And to kind of like harken back to like when they use English, they're not as bad as I've heard a Brazilian like prog metal band that will use English lyrics, but it's like none of it makes any like sense, but it sounds good the way it's like sung and it will rhyme just slightly, but none of the words in between make any fucking sense. And you're like, okay, I guess this is sure. What's going on here. But it's just interesting kind of scene where you're like, we can kind of make English here. Like, what's that famous Italian song that had fake English in it that actually...
I can't even say Prusa Crescenona. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Andres Cantiano. Yeah, no, of course. I was just talking about that song the other day. I can never say it. Anyway, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Like, it's not like they're doing that or he's bad, but I mean, they're using English in a much more conscientious way. And so it's interesting like, for them trying to, like, I think, in a sense, piece it together that it may hamper also because it's not their primary language. So some stuff may get lost in translation as well. So, I mean, there is that. But I do want to say, in terms of overall sound, this album sounds very close to like that mid to early 2000s like music sound. Like, you would see that would show up as like the heavier tracks on like an American Pie soundtrack that would show up in like these not their teen movie, like they're very much Euro Trip. I wouldn't be surprised if I think there is sure. songs on that soundtrack.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, it's, you know, it's very much a product of 2004. I don't disagree with that. I'm okay with that.
Like that new metal post new metal age where they're like, what are we doing now?
They're doing this. Augen auf, ich komme.
Duschbier's got.
Indeed. Yeah, but sounds like we're ready to talk about songs. We seem to have begun that process.
Sure. Gabe, you want to lead off for us?
Yeah. I liked a whole bunch of these. I definitely didn't like all of them, but I think the opener is really kick-ass. I liked Sex hat keine Macht. That's really good. I also liked Der Strom. I also liked Nichts. It's literally cool. And I also enjoyed Tief in Dir. I think that should have been the closer.
David, do you want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter. Okay. I like most of these. I think Algonoff is incredibly kick-ass. And Tausendneue Lügen is one of my favorite songs, period. Tausendneue Lügen harks back a little bit to Unrein in terms of sort of creepiness, I think. It's pretty heavy. I think Brennen de Liebe is more effective than the Nina Hagen duet in terms of like him keeping up and the sound it achieves. The album trails a tiny bit. I'm not like I'd forgotten about a couple of these the ones on the back half. They're okay. I like Im Licht a lot. I think it's a really kick-ass closer. Sorry it didn't work for you, but I think it's a pretty awesome lead out. But yeah, I think most of these songs are quite good. It's a cool album.
Like most of the world, I enjoyed Augen auf. I think it does really well. Townsend of Luga, then do Weinst. I like Burn Your Eyes. I actually like that as one of their English songs. Du spielst Gott. Is that you play as God? Or
you play God, yeah.
Okay. Diesmal wirst du Zayn,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'll pull like five tracks off of here. I think it kind of does start to get a little long and fall off there near the end of it for me. That brings us to, so it's not ritual, it's ritual, right? If I'm gonna,
yeah, ritual, yeah, yeah, but you can call it ritual if you want. Do what you want, Tracy.
I just want to say it's funny because they actually had to put ritual infamous because I think the SoFi ritual album came out in 2019 as well.
hilarious.
So it's like ritual oomph. But this is their 13th studio band. It comes in at a runtime of 44 minutes and 18 seconds. It was released on January 18th, 2019. This is the last album with singer Dedrogoy. And see if we talk Peep off the band in 2021. Or...
Yep. But, path of this, living was actually,
this was released on Napalm, which I interesting label, I guess.
I mean, they have some bleep bloops in addition to heavier stuff, but
yeah. bleeps and bloops. So I feel like this was the heaviest for me. This came across as the heaviest one we've done for the four albums we did tonight. This, if I was also going to say comparing to Rammstein, I think this is the closest Rammstein-esque album. Now, I don't know if that's purposeful or what, but I think their names, also German, their songs, I think, give a little more tongue-in-cheek.
That's interesting. I mean, I think that this album actually goes back to some of the tendencies from the earlier records in the sense that, yeah, there's some, you know, dark themes and stuff. Some of the texts are really bad, I have to say. And it also goes back to a music that's more repetitive and sort of leaning on that. It was hard for me to find stuff to latch onto here, to be honest, but there is some interesting stuff. Like Teresa was saying, that tug in cheek. I don't see all that much of that, but there is a little bit and it's appealing. And there's even some political stuff on here, which is interesting. And I like that, but unfortunately that's like a little sliver of the record. It's really not the whole thing.
And it may also be my not fluent knowledge of the German language. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a funny name. And it may be just blatant it in the front. And I'm like, oh, that's, as an American, I'm like, oh, I got that. So maybe tongue in cheek to me. Like when you see like an American artist do it in a foreign language, you're like, oh, that's what he said. That's hilarious. So that may be the where I'm coming at it from as well.
Well, I mean, I think you're also right too, in the sense that there were songs in here where I was like, oh, this sounds like Rammstein to me.
Yeah,
but with Christian lyrics. So yeah,
Des Von Zins has got some fairly political tracks on it too, a couple back before this. But yeah, I think the Christianity here, though, it's still very tenuous because it's not entirely laudatory. I don't think he'd made that transition like he did later. But I mean, as with the earlier albums, it's dripping in Christian imagery. I agree with you, Gabe. This in some ways sounds a bit more like the older ones. And is a bit heavier than they sort of, it's certainly heavier than, I don't think it's heavier than maybe 25, which is the one right before this. And I almost picked that one, but it's definitely heavier than Des Von Zins' Fette Beute. It's all German all the time. They, you know, finally get into actually directly talking about Nazism, which I think there's been some tracks that implied it because as a German, it's difficult to avoid it. But they definitely go there here. And has, having read interviews at the time, part of that has to do with just German politics, you know, things like the AfD and such in terms of the turn back to radical right wing politics. I think they felt like they had to say something. I don't know what Tracy got out of that song or the remix at the end, the Terrorfeken Hitler remix.
Well, I just feel like they're talking about Hitler. That's all I could make out of it.
Indeed, they were.
I honestly did not get all that much out of that track. Maybe I didn't pay close enough attention, but it just sounded like controversy word salad to me. Which, you know, it also sort of makes me think of Rammstein in a way, because sometimes you think that they're putting stuff down just because it's like going to piss people off. And that probably wasn't their intention here. But that's how it sort of came across. And maybe it's just my bad for not paying close enough attention.
I've heard that song a lot. And so I think it's pretty harsh. I mean, not in terms of what it's saying about Hitler per se, but just Germans going along with it. I mean, it's right. Yeah. You know what happened here. So, and it's happening. I mean, we're not Italy yet, but that's a subject for another podcast. So. And, you know, Tausend Monde on to fail. I mean, it opens with, you know, this pretty strong anti-war statement.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really nice, I mean, I think that is an example of them being able to write a song that's also like, I don't know, really intelligent and gets to the point. Mm-hmm. And in addition to being like fun to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and Trommelkinder, again, it's about that term is usually used for the kids who were playing in the debris in the late 40s.
I wasn't so sure about that one either. Like, just because the first lyrics are just ripping off the GDR national anthem. And it's like, okay, like, I don't know. It's a bit strange to me. It's hard for me to tell like where, you know, their sympathies lie in that, you know, because on the one hand, like calling yourself or identifying yourself with Trommelkinder, you're trying to build on something to, you know, be proud of yourself when it's like also just like a really terrible fucking history to live with. And also the GDR, like ripping off the GDR national anthem to like make that point is like, I'm not sure if that's the best idea from one totalitarian society into another, essentially. But
indeed. And they're outsiders, of course, to it. Unlike
They're total outsiders to it. They it's appropriation of a kind.
I think that's fair. One of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Or sorry, go ahead, please.
Sorry for getting into all the tracks, but
that's all right.
I think that is a fine riff. It's just really weird to put that text over it.
One of the weirdest things I've ever seen really is the GDR Museum in Berlin, which was created by West Germans, right? Like, I think they tend to sometimes have a view of the East that's a bit more kitschy.
That's the one you took us to, isn't it? The one that's off
it's
of...
It's strange, dude. No East German would make that museum. They either would have leaned even harder into the nostalgia or not done it at all. I don't know. It's just, I've taken... Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah, but remember the tour guide we had when we went in there? Like, he was a kid that grew up in East Germany.
He was
talking about it like, oh, we didn't have to worry about crime. Like, because everybody had the same thing. What are you going to steal? The same TV you have in your living room? I mean, it's... Like, it was a very interesting perspective to look and see how everything went. And just like, as you talk, like, this nostalgia, is that it? Like, the nostalgia about the East. And like, I wouldn't have gathered any of that from any of this. Like, I can kind of make out the tracks on here and like, okay, what this is what it means. But for the most part, no. And so it's very interesting to come in here because I'm not picking up any of like the issues that Gay was having with the lyrics of the GDR national anthem, whatnot. So it's very interesting. So is Trommelkinder, is that like translate the Truman Kids?
No, Rubble. Children of the Rubble.
Okay. I was like wondering if it was like a pot shot at Truman's, like, we haven't
read No. Nothing to do with, no. This is like one of my advisors, Conrad Jarosch, playing in piles of destroyed buildings. I mean, the Wolfsburg and Braunschweig were fucking leveled. I mean, like most of these cities. So
what's the mound in Berlin that we went to that had
the Teufelsberg,
the NSA listening post on it, that was just the mound of the rubble from Berlin that's just been
several million cubic feet of debris. Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
I mean, Regensburg too, the place I'm in right now, is usually known as this gem that's shockingly unbombed, and that's true right where I am right this minute. But the minute you get towards a train station, I mean, everything was just flattened. And, you know, they attempted to surrender and were executed in front of everyone in the middle of the Dachau Platz. And what a fucking train wreck. I mean, there's not one of these cities that isn't, ugh. As Gabe said, it's a very heavy thing to live with. And I don't think Germans to this day figured out how to do that necessarily. Mm-hmm. But that's a different podcast, though.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It occurs to me that you didn't play the game with Tracy yet.
I know, I thought that too, but part of me wanted to move us along a little faster. I don't know.
Because that would have been like a 3-hour podcast.
Children of Truman.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one, it's all German. We can do this one. So, Tausend Mann und ein Befehl. Like 1,000 men and one order. I don't know what Befehl is. So.
Or order.
Okay.
Like military.
So, 1,000 man order.
I mean, it's, yeah, go ahead.
Achtung is action.
Or attention.
Kein Liebeslied.
Not a love song.
Trommelkinder, Europa. In Name of the Fathers. Mm-hmm.
Just the one father.
Do you know what that's about, Tracy?
No.
It's about clones. Clone army.
And that is where our recording cut off at. As for grades, I gave Unrein a B-. 81. David gave it an A+, a 99, and gave it a B-81 for an average of 87. On Plastique, I gave it a C-plus of 78. David gave it an A-plus of 97, and Gabe gave it a C-plus of 78 as well. That gives us an average of 84. Wahrheit oder Pflicht, I gave it a B at 85. Dave gave it an A at 95, and Gabe gave it a B-plus at 88 for an average of 89. Ritual, I'll give it a B-plus 88. Dave gave it an A of 94, and Gabe gave it a C-75 for an average of 86. And sorry for the loss there, and thanks for sticking with us.